Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A pair of sixes? It's time for Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century. From I Love Lucy to, wow, news radio. I'm your TV guy, Brett White, and I'm also a senior reporter producer for Decider.com. And we are still in the quarantine era of the podcast, which is the new normal. But more importantly, we're episode 99, which means episode 100 is coming, which means, you know what? This has just been a marvelous stretch of all of our lives, hasn't it? Getting up to episode 99. Wow. There's a whole really cool TV character named Agent 99. So 99's just fine. Oh, God. This week, I am joined by returning guest all-time champion, Crystal Beth. Hello. Yay! Hello, Crystal.
I am happy to be here as the all-time reigning best
champion.
And newbie in the flubie, John Robert Wilson.
Ooh, check out my flubie, y'all. It's newbie flubie time. Flubies.
Hello, Crystal Beth and JR, coming to y'all live from Colorado,
bright and fire-ridden Colorado.
Oh, wait, are y'all on fire, too?
Yes. We are on fire, too.
Jesus fucking... Oh, my God.
We can't really go outside. Even there's signs on the street when you're driving down it that say, unclean air, exercise indoors.
Yeah.
It looks like you live in Colorado.
It looks like Mordor out there. The sun is so red.
What? Yeah. Oh, well, hey. Great. Y'all might be the first ever guest I've ever had on Mountain Time.
Oh,
wow. Weird trivia that I'm sure the listeners love. Yeah. I mean, how have the last 6 months been?
Seven months? COVID?
Yeah. I mean,
It's been trying just like for everybody. Crystal got furloughed because she works in fine dining. And I basically got double the workload. And yeah, it's been...
I did a lot of home projects.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I got hired back and then I quit.
Hell yeah.
And then I got a new job.
Hell yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of time has passed.
It's crazy.
It's like you can only podcast and stream and video game for so long before you're like, I want to be back around people.
I'm honestly nostalgic for March and April when it's just like, hell yeah, I'm going to be doing live streams on Instagram and I'm going to be doing more. But like, we were all so productive. And we were all just like,
yes,
there were so many like, oh, I got to check out this live stream at this time. And now we're just all like, oh, God.
Well, I don't want to sabotage the conversation, get it off topic, but just so you know, we are going to be getting back into improv because Amy Gerlich moved out here.
Oh, right.
And she's building a theater.
Oh, hell. Mm-hmm. Wait, like
literally building a theater?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Well, are you going to be teaching?
Yeah, probably. I mean, she offered it to me.
Wow, that's super rad.
I'd take your class.
Ooh, and then the studio audience is all, ooh. Yeah. But this week on Must Have Seen TV, we'll be traveling to April 14th, 1996. Primal Fear ruled the box office. Because You Loved Me by Celine Dion topped the charts. And NBC aired the news radio episode Presence. Crystal and JR, you must have seen Presence before today.
I was a bigger news radio fan than Crystal, so I actually have seen this, but it's been a very long time.
This was the first episode of news radio I've ever seen.
Yes!
But yeah, it's hard to see Joe Rogan now, so young and so dopey.
Not crazy, not like a weird, like, shaved head, roid maniac, like, conspiracy theorist.
It took me a while to figure out, because I saw the credits and it said Joe Rogan, and I had to watch probably 7 or 8 minutes of the episode before I was like, is that? I thought it was, what's his name? The Family Guy guy.
Seth MacFarlane.
I thought it was Seth MacFarlane at first.
He wishes. No. Seth MacFarlane wishes he was on News Radio.
He does.
No, yeah. I mean, so this is the fourth News Radio episode I've talked about on the podcast, which might make it the most talked about show of my entire run. Because
you want to be honest why we chose it?
Oh, yeah.
I'll be honest with you, because I feel like all the other shows, there's too much stuff to talk about. You know, like we could have watched the Simpsons episode but I was like, oh, we would have been had to make pages and pages of notes. But News Radio is a fun enough show where you can just watch. That was a fun little jaunt.
Yeah.
In that world.
I was going to note that I had the opposite problem of just like, there are too many jokes. Like there were so many jokes I thought were so funny that I was like, I need to write that down. But it's like, no, man, you got to just keep moving. You can't write down every joke. There are so many jokes. So y'all are huge Star Wars people. So
yes,
you're Star Wars humans.
Still. we have a famous reaction video out there where the Force Awakens hasn't come out yet. And Crystal cries to react to the trailer. And trivia, which is a trivia heavy episode. We recorded that video in Colorado.
Oh, wow.
Before
we moved here.
Aw, full cycle. So I sent y'all a list of Star Wars themed or Star Wars like adjacent sitcom episodes, which includes the Simpsons episode where Mark Hamill does a voice. There's also the Friends episode where Ross has the Princess Leia fantasy and Rachel puts on the gold bikini, but she has the A New Hope side buns hairstyle, which is like, that's not. But no. Whatever.
That would take me out of it.
No, yeah. and then also there's that 70s show episode where they all go see Star Wars, and there's like an extended all of them role playing as Star Wars, etc. but we will get to it in a bit. But this episode has always stuck out. This episode literally blew my mind when I was 11 years old, 11 and three quarters. And it did, we'll get into it, because it is wild. It's a fond memories. But this week on Must Have Seen TV, we'll be talking about the News Radio episode Presence. It is the 19th episode of season 2 and was written by Alan J. Higgins and Josh Lieb and directed by Lee Shalit Shamel. Here's how Crackle, the chicken soup for the soul streaming service, describes the episode. It literally is that. Lisa comes to the rescue after Jimmy loses Bill in a station owner's poker game. CB and JR, how accurate is that description?
Pretty accurate. I mean, when we first watched, we're like, there's no Star Wars in this.
Watching the right episode?
In this deck. But yes, that is correct. I always see their boss as Milton from Office Space, like the stapler guy.
Yeah, that's what he is. But
yeah, I can only see him as that. So it's funny seeing playing this kind of a misogynistic CEO dummy character.
Yeah, he's just the exact opposite. See, I was obsessed with News Radio before I ever saw Office Space, so it's hard for me to watch. Yeah, because I watched this as it aired. I don't know what stroke of fate led me to find News Radio when I needed it, but I did. And it was
always on late at night whenever I watched it. I was in high school, maybe a sophomore or a freshman.
96
in high school, but I remember always watching it late at night. Yeah.
It probably went into reruns at that point.
That was my problem.
Because it was it jumped around the time. It had like 11 different time slots. It never had a home.
Yeah.
So the loyal
people.
Do they
do that anymore with shows?
I mean, now it's all just find it on streaming. So, like, doesn't even matter.
Yeah, that's true.
You're like, you automatically have access to your demo. It's like, boom, just serve the content to your demo and move on to the next thing, I guess.
There's no reason to give a shit about any type of, like, timing or anything, which is whatever. So, the episode begins with my favorite scenes in News Radio are usually the ones where it's all of them around the conference room table, all talking. And the episode starts with Dave holding one of his usual like daily meetings. And the very first joke is, so we got a new copy machine because someone tried to photocopy some mirrored lenses. And Beth, Vicki Lewis, who I fucking love, is just like, I was trying to do an experiment with the fifth dimension.
Yes.
Yeah. And then my favorite, I love this, is Dave's response to that is something like, well, now that we've heard from Agent Scully.
Right, like, oh, how timey. How,
I know.
That's how topical.
I loved this show because of the, there are so many pop culture references in this one episode that make it feel, I don't know, very 90s. It's very
it's so 90s.
90s was very, everyone was all consuming the same pop culture, so we could all make these kind of references and stuff, which, I don't know, it feels like a cozy blanket to me.
It does. I think the 90s is a, if I could go back to a decade, I would just want to explore that one for a while.
Yeah, I'd be fine with that. Well, so Crystal, as this is your first News Radio episode, how did you feel like it set up all the character games, like all the characters well? Because it's a big cast. It's like eight people.
Mm-hmm. I think they did. I was impressed, actually, because I found out. So Vicki is her name.
Vicki Lewis. Beth is the name of the character. And
Beth
Vicki
is her character. Yeah. OK, so they set her up perfectly. And then they set up the nerdy guy really well while leading the meeting. And it kind of was a good introduction to all of the people there just based off of that round table.
Yeah.
So I kind of knew who and what everyone was in the first 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did a really, really good job.
Yeah. I was just happy to see Phil Hartman again. You know, I feel like in this show, and this was his last show that he did, he's playing a cartoon version of himself, like an elevated version of himself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And man, he's so good. And
he's so funny.
Of course, he's the voice talent. He plays the voice talent on a news radio show. Yeah, so
it's perfect. It's absolute perfect casting. It's also the smartest thing for him to do after SNL, where it's like he was known on SNL as being the ensemble person, the just person who was like the glue of the show. And so it's good that he didn't just go do the Phil Hartman show where he's a dad with a bunch of kids. Like he instead took the role that was an ensemble of, you know, Dave from Kids in the Hall, Andy Dick from the Ben Stiller show. Vicki Lewis was like huge on Broadway. She just done Damn Yankees, I think.
Joe Rogan from Future Fame, the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah, yeah. Well, funny fact is that role was originally Ray Romano in the pilot.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And the show is one of the fastest multicam sitcoms probably to ever exist. Like it is such a quick paced show, and Ray Romano they were like, he's just too slow. He cannot. Like verbally, he cannot keep up with everyone else. He's just, his energy is very, Deborah.
Oh, you guys want me to fix this radio console?
That's basically it. So they find
Bobcat
out.
Bobcat Goldthwait almost.
Yeah, I feel like Bobcat Goldthwait was maybe almost cast in News Radio as well. Like that feels very right.
Yeah, he's
honestly.
Like best friends with Pauly Shore. He hangs out at the comedy store a lot over in LA. You know, that's a stomping ground, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty sure it is.
So a mixer is delivered and they're all like, wait a second, why is this here? What's going on? They just took a coffee machine. What is happening? And they're like, oh, wait, it's the broadcasters conference. That means that Jimmy James is over there with all the other billionaire broadcasters betting things from the station. And I love the reaction to the coffee machine getting taken away because Bill has the immediate reaction of like, what are we supposed to do? Go without coffee and live like animals? I love that.
That was the first time I laughed out loud watching the show or watching this episode.
Aww.
Yeah, he's like, well, animals in a third world country or something
Yeah, see, exactly. I wish I just had a transcript of the entire episode because all the jokes are so perfectly written and delivered that it is like, I'm doing them a disservice. So the cold open ends with Matthew, like Joe just puts Joe, who's Joe Rogan, plays the tech guy. He puts the new mixing board on Matthew's desk. And Matthew's like, I need to do work. Can you move this?
I need to get to my desk work.
And when he picks it up, of course, everything from the mixing board just falls down and like starts crackling and smoking and stuff. And then Joe hoses him down with a fire extinguisher.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually, the angle that they shot it at, you can see like the little pyrotechnic and smoke special effects coming out of the desk and not the console.
I love that.
I did like when Andy Dick was like, Don't you spray me with that fire extinguisher, and then it starts smoking again. And he was like,
okay, spray me.
So what I love about this is another example of news radio, and I think I've probably talked about this in every episode we've done, because I think every episode we've done, they've done this. The writers intentionally fucked with NBC and the censors and stuff. They liked messing with them. And so they started doing this thing where the cold open of every episode ended with a stupid physical comedy bit involving Matthew, that they didn't think was funny. They more thought it was funny that they were ending every cold open with like him falling down. He would come into a scene that didn't even involve him and then just trip on marbles. And that would be the end of it. And they kept doing it. And NBC was like, please stop ending every cold open with a stupid physical comedy bit with Andy Dick. Stop it. And they didn't. And so that's why this one, like this weird extinguisher bit, like it's not that funny. And also it doesn't come back later. It's not even really great character work. It's just stupid. And then when you know that if you watch a whole bunch of news radio, you'll start seeing the pattern of 2 minutes in every episode, he's going to fall on his face or he's going to do something. It's this meta thing, and I just love it.
Isn't there like a famous story where Andy Dick and John Lovitz kind of get into it at a restaurant?
Yeah,
I don't want to sidetrack us on that story.
There was something about, and I think it might be after the show ended, because when Phil Hartman died, John Lovitz came on for season 5 to take over as a new character,
right?
And the gossip and rumors and stuff is that so Phil Hartman's wife, who killed him, was a recovering drug addict, and the like tabloid rumblings around that time was that she was partying with Andy Dick, like Andy Dick got her back into drugs, and that is what like led to the tragedy is like the urban legends and rumors that got started. And I think John Lovitz, like after news radio ended, like confronted him at a restaurant over that, just like, fuck you, you killed Phil Hartman, like you must, like just like tense. But
yikes,
he just had, like last year was the 20th anniversary of his death, and like ABC or NBC or one of those networks did one of those like true crime, like the death of Phil Hartman, yeah, like 20 special 2020. And I watched that, and they try to dispel that as much as possible, of just like, you know, those are just rumors, but you know what, we'll never know what actually happened.
We'll never know.
Sad. It's 20 years.
Yeah, it's 21 years ago now. He did 4 seasons of news radio and then was killed like a week after the season 4 finale, because it was like late May. It's awful. I do like, so then we get the theme song, but then right after the theme song, there is like a little button of Matthew still getting sprayed with the fire extinguisher.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really fun. You don't see that often of them.
I've never seen the full version of the intro. This is so long, because every time I saw it, it was like cut down to this short version of it.
Yeah. The seasons 3 and 4, they actually did, you saw them, like it was them out in the city interacting with New York,
right?
And they shot, you know, like the Family Matters thing, it's always like Urkel's pushing at the door, or like Full House, like Stephanie's like putting on her backpack. So they did that for news radio, but they gave all of them 2 or 3 different alternates where they were all doing different physical comedy gags. And so when you would watch an episode, you wouldn't know if you're going to see, you know, a bird poop in Bill McNeil's coffee cup, or him knock the coffee cup off the roof, or Joe stealing a traffic light, or controlling it with a remote control. So like, that's again, like another cool, stupid little like twist on the usual multicam sitcom formula that they did.
Hey, I had no idea.
Yeah. I'm just a font.
Come here for the trivia, folks.
Hey, yo. So now we're back into the act one, and Dave just wants that coffee. And that's a running joke throughout, is like he just keeps wanting the coffee, and he never gets like raises his voice about it, but he's very persistent, and I like that.
I do remember his addiction to coffee was like a central plot point in an episode where they had to quit smoking because the office became a smoker-friendly or smoke-free environment.
Yeah. Smoker.
Smoker-friendly.
Yeah. Well, no, there was a whole plot line where, like, Bill has his smoking corner where he has his, like, recliner and, like, a stack of newspapers.
Right.
And he keeps his ashtray on top of the newspapers or something and doesn't go well. So there, oh my god, what is this? Good luck. Oh, okay. Sorry, I'm just looking at my notes and they aren't making sense. So, Jimmy's back and he is disheveled and all of them are giving good luck charms. And this is another really great, like, character bit, especially for Beth. Do y'all have good luck charms? What would you give Jimmy?
Oh, you know what? I still carry around a few mementos in my backpack. I have an old Stein token from Oktoberfest in Munich.
Oh,
for good luck.
Which is funny because he definitely went to the emergency room the day after we were at Oktoberfest because he was throwing up blood.
He didn't die.
Didn't die. See, lucky me.
I am a knock on wood and salt over the shoulder. Those are my only two superstitions. Oh, I also don't try to walk under ladders either.
That also just seems like a smart thing to do for safety.
Yeah.
Also.
But I don't really have...
You also have Wild Bill syndrome where you can't face...
Oh, I can't have my back to the door.
Can't have your back to the door of a restaurant.
Oh.
I get really, really uncomfortable. It sucks because...
Who's after thing? You? Are you in witness protection? Is this not your real name? No, yeah.
I can't tell you that. But I don't have any good luck anything, really.
Well, Beth has...
I make my own luck.
Beth has a lot of good luck items. She gives him, like, lucky Tic Tacs, lucky pencils that you're supposed to, like, tap to your forehead whenever you meet someone.
12 times.
Yeah. She gives him a ring, and he's like, oh, cool, what do I do with this? She's like, okay, you need to rotate it counterclockwise every 15 minutes. And then he's like, no, and gives it back to her and drops it. And then she, like, picks it up, and then there's this great physical comedy moment where she, like, crosses herself 3 times, does a spin, spits on her hand, and, like, salutes her. Uh-huh.
Yes.
Well, there's also one of the part that I thought was really funny about that little bit with Beth was he said, what happens if I forget to turn it? And she goes, my mother dies.
My mother dies.
Very serious, very high stakes.
And then when it fell and she just got in her mouth and she's like crossing herself and everything that, I mean, it solidified the fifth dimension theory at the beginning. I was like, ah, she's fun.
She is so good. That's like, this show is so great. I mean, there's really only, well, there are two plot lines in this episode, just larger, like, Newsrider just packs in jokes. People that say that you can't do multicam sitcoms because it has to, like, you have to wait for the laughter and blah, blah, blah. It's like, watch News Radio. This is one of the most, like, joke-dense shows.
They don't even like bother with justifying why they can just insert characters in situations.
Yeah.
I mean, we can fast forward, but like they literally just have half the characters at a poker game and then the other half just like, you know what, let's just have them rent a room in the hotel that they're at on the company's dime and they'll just be like hanging out partying in there.
It's so great.
Works.
And it's like nominally they're all working at a radio station and it's like, who's on air right now?
Right.
So there's like this time period where this 24-hour news radio station where the entire cast and crew can just go to a poker game. It's like, who was the night crew? Like, what is the flip side of the news radio schedule? the other one of the running like character things, like the motivation is, so Lisa and Dave are at this point like estranged, like they've had like a falling out. Lisa's accusing Dave of being paranoid. Dave is like, you're a liar. Like, they're very, things are very, very tense, and everyone else is caught in the middle of it. What do we think about Dave and Lisa, their chemistry?
I don't think I could never ever see them together. And so I was even hard to buy when they were together. But you can tell it's still very 90s too, because all their problems are about their sex.
Yeah.
They have. Because you can't have any other type of relationship problems. Just the man is either underperforming in sex, or the woman is not having sex enough, or the right type of sex.
It's like, we can finally talk about sex on TV. So that's what we're going to do, people.
Yeah. We were, you could tell we're like, and we still are, but we're very repressed, society. And like, you know, like coming back to when we were in Germany for Oktoberfest, they had like boobies on billboards and stuff. No big deal. No one gave any. But here we're so puritanical and we clutch our pearls. But
consider my,
you know, 27 years ago.
It was hard for me to see them as a couple because I didn't get to see any build up to anything. So they were like, yeah. Oh, we're not together. And I was like, yeah, obviously you shouldn't be. I think that you guys are probably better apart, even though I've never seen you together. It was a weird chemistry.
They have this really interesting dynamic because, like, this is another instance of News Radio giving the middle finger to NBC, because episode one, I think they might sleep with each other in episode one or something. NBC wanted it to be a Ross, Rachel, Sam, Diane, like, we're NBC and we are all about long build up, you know, will they, won't they? And Paul Sims, the creator, was like, okay, cool. They're going to start dating in episode one. Like, he just completely was like, nope, we're just going to jump in and do the exact opposite of what you want, NBC.
Good. That's awesome.
And so, like, by the time we get to season two, they've already, like, their relationship goes up and down. There's a period where Lisa's actually the boss. Like, she gets Dave's job. I think, like, I like them as a couple of performers. Like, the way they write them together, I think, is really interesting because they both have equal hand. Like, they're both kind of, like, very equal in terms of, like, the funny lines, the...
Yeah.
And it they play off each other really well, and they are not good for each other. And the show also, no. like... knows that a bit. like I do love this episode proves, like, yeah, Dave is paranoid, and like, yeah, Lisa doesn't have a problem with lying, she lies very easily. That's this whole episode.
Yeah,
that was a great gag. She's like, who has the better poker face, like, Lisa, how is your and Dave's relationship? Oh, it's going great, never can, well, I don't, she said something along those lines,
and he's like, how about you? And he goes, fine.
It's like, okay, cool, Lisa, you're doing it.
Yeah,
so we find out then that Jimmy is like super distraught because he's lost something very valuable in the poker game.
Yes.
He's lost Bill, and he traded him for a DBX console, which is worth like $2 million. So, like, Bill feels a little bit better about that.
Hey, okay. He's justified.
I do. So, like, someone brings up, like, how can you do this? What is that in their contract? And then Bill just pulls out his contract, and Dave, I think, is like, you just carry your contract around? And his response is, yeah, for moments like this, it doesn't seem so crazy, does it?
That was so funny.
That's like a perfect improv scene response, yeah. too. He's like, yeah, I'm justifying what you just said, and yeah. It's not crazy because now we can read it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, do you want the, like, smash cut to them all over at Bill's, like, going through his folders or, like, pulling out a drawer? Like, no, it is just funnier and quicker if he just carries it with him.
He has it on him.
So funny.
And it finds out that, like, your employment is subject to act of God, and then the clause for that clause is God, for the purpose of this contract, will be, like, Jimmy James.
Yes.
So, dun, dun, dun. That's when we start getting the planning session. We're like, okay, listen, Jimmy, one of us is going to go, Lisa or Dave is going to sub for you. And then they find out Letha's like this crazy, like, it is canonical. She is like a math genius, like stats, you know, Rain Man-esque kind of figure. And so they're like, cool, you're perfect for this. except, how do you play poker?
Right.
That was a great gag, too, because the elevator closes as she's saying it, and they just pop the door back open and carry her into the first commercial break.
Yeah, they're both like, so what is y'all's poker situation? Are y'all poker fiends? Do y'all poke around?
No, we don't poke.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, games of strategy and lying are not... I don't have a good poker face.
Crystal just learned how to play chess.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I can play chess.
Yeah.
I played blind poker, which no one else really knows what that is, but it's, you start out with four cards and then you can't look at those four cards again the entire game. And your goal is to end with the least amount of points. So jacks are worth 0 points. Aces are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And then, kings and queens are 10. So your goal is to get rid of your tens to get as low as you can. But you can never look at your cards again after you start playing. It's really fun.
I don't think in the show they specify
what kind
of poker they're playing. So they could be playing that kind of poker, Crystal.
They're not, because they're looking at the cards the whole
time. Yeah, okay. So I think they're playing five card draw.
Yeah.
Or because they're not playing Texas Hold'em, because then they don't have like, okay, let's turn over the flop and the card and not.
Like, what is the most basic kind of poker? Like the
I
most
think
like
five card five, draw. Yeah. You everyone gets five cards, and then there's a round of you ante in. You can discard up to all your cards at once and get five new cards or one new card or zero new cards. And then you make bets depending on what you have, I guess.
Based off of your question, Brett, I imagine you don't play poker either.
No. No, I
don't
never,
poke around, Brett.
No, I don't poke. I've had some poke bowls.
Ooh,
when I go to LA, I've had some poke, but that's about. I don't really poke around. But I do like every single sitcom has a poker episode. The very first episode of Must Have Seen TV was me and Matt Little discussing Friends' The One with All the Poker, which also again has a showdown at the end between Ross and Rachel, where like Rachel just lost a job and she's gonna win the pot if like she wins this, and so Ross like says, "You beat me," and then the last shot of the episode is everyone be like, "Well, what did he actually have?" And they all lunge for the cards, which is kind of similar. Like this episode ends with again, like
it does.
What did you actually have? Like yeah, so there's it's really yeah. There's kind of I would love to do just a stretch of just nothing but poker episodes.
Yeah,
I'm sure you like
some poker. I think you would last a long time.
Yeah, you'd fill lots of episodes with that.
So many. But while they're teaching Lisa how to play poker, Bill is now giving all of his stuff away because he's expecting to be uprooted to Atlanta. And he gives Catherine his stapler. He then gives like Beth the three-hole punch. It's soup. And he always has like a speech to give them, like, "Yes, I have always liked you, I've respected you, and I stole this off you in 1988. Like,
yeah.
I like when he yells at the guy and he's like, "Your obnoxious laughter," or something like that. And the guy's like, "I don't even work here." He's like, Oh.
It's this really
you
great.
You think I didn't know you were here.
It's this really great beat. And then he's like, Oh, I'm sorry. And that is the guy playing that random guy that doesn't work there is Joe Fury, who is a writer on News Radio. So I did like, so after she says, "How do you play poker?" They take her into the break room, and then Jimmy starts with like, "Poker started back with the Druids."
The Druids.
And then Dave is like, "Can we fast forward about 4 or 5 centuries? And then he's like, "Okay, space poker or
space poker."
it's just really good. And then, so there was another little runner right here where, like, I think Jimmy's like, "Oh my God, like, I'm so nervous. Do we have any coffee?" And then Dave pointedly says, "No."
No.
Because they took the coffee in the snack bar.
And it's not even like, I don't even think the studio audience caught that or laughed at it because it is such a quick character thing. But I just love that the script is so dense. Just love that. And then when, Lisa's like, "Okay, cool, do suits matter?" And Jimmy's like, "We usually wear casual clothes." And then Dave is like, "No, there's diamonds, hearts, jacks, and, wait, diamonds, hearts, spades, and clubs." And then Beth has walked in at that point and she goes, "They're always after me, Lucky Charms." Which also made me laugh.
Oh, I missed that part.
Yeah, there's just like so many. And then right after that, Joe comes in. This is another classic News Radio, like everyone is piling on jokes. Like they just keep coming. Joe comes in, he's got marked cards that he's marked with rat poison.
Yeah, radioactive rat poison.
And then they all of me like throw them down. Bill comes in. I don't know, like. So, like, yeah, I'm always fascinated with Crystal's new perspective on News Radio. I mean, like, at this point, I feel like, do you feel like you know all these characters inside and out? Because there's another huge group scene where they're all just playing their character games again.
Yeah, it for 23 minutes of show, I could see how easy it's like watching an episode of Modern Family, honestly, where you're like, "Oh, I know who these people are and who they're going to be in every episode."
Yeah.
And I like when he was like, "Oh, it's radioactive poison or whatever." And they're like, "Ah!" And they like go wash their hands. And it was just such a little thing where, and then when Andy Dick starts like chewing on the edge of the card,
he's like, "Ew."
I was like, "Oh, this is fun."
Bill comes in at this moment to continue his game. One of the things I love about News Radio is that usually a sitcom will have an A plot that's in these scenes with these characters, a B plot that's over here with these characters. News Radio does this thing like this is literally Bill taking his B plot, dragging it into the A plot to interrupt it and be like, here, I stole all these things from you. Lisa, here's your birth control pills.
Yeah. She's like, oh my gosh.
Why? How did he get those?
And why?
Yeah. And that's so great. And then he leaves and then we're back to the A plot again. I love how it's such a, there's an improv form to be made out of this. I guess it's more of like a mono scene kind of is how you would like.
Yeah, everyone would have to have really strong character games and it would be a mono scene. Or what's the scene where it's like the rooms are connected?
Oh, what, macro scene like I did? Oh, yeah. No, macro scene is
maybe
because macro scene was like the mono scene, but it moves like you can follow them right in real time, too, which is actually what news radio does. They're usually just walking back and forth from the kitchenette to Dave's office. Like just.
Yeah. So, yeah, like you said, everyone's character game is so specific. You just need to watch one scene. You know where everyone's coming from.
Yeah.
You know, without them saying so, what their philosophy or their outlook on life is, you know, it's
so good.
They're really good. It's really specific, really crisp, really rehearsed.
I would love to have worked on this show. So this is where the Star Warsness comes in, because Joe, you know, in addition to making up those like rat poison cards, he's also has a good, is he called like a good luck charm? Does he tell Lisa there's a camera in it? I don't think he does.
He doesn't tell her that there's a camera in it. He's like, here's my good luck Boba Fett charm.
Yeah. And then she's like, Boba Fett, an intergalactic bounty hunter featured in The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. Yeah, I know. It's like, now this is what I really want to get into is Joe's response to that is, how do you know that?
Yeah.
Because this speaks to why this episode blew my mind in 1996 is like, hey, people, no one knew what Star Wars was for like 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The prequels came out in
99.
99. So the prequels were going to be coming out for another 3 years at this point.
There is. So what Joe hands her is, I have the figure right there. It's right there. Is the 1995-96 Power of the Force relaunch action figure. So like in 1985 is when Hasbro discontinued their Star Wars toy line. Like they still tried. 2 years after Return of the Jedi, they were still cranking out toys, trying to get people to care. But like, you know, the movies were done. The franchise was over. People were moving on to G.I. Joe and the Ninja Turtles, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Then 10 years, there are no Star Wars toys. Like, this is, I discovered Star Wars in 91, like New Year's 90 into 91. And so I had to use G.I. Joes as my Star Wars figures.
Yeah. We were just talking, me and Crystal, yesterday we were watching a show. It was called like The Toys That Made Us or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
There's one episode specifically about Star Wars toys. And I was like, I recognize some of those old Ewok playsets because I got them as the Robin Hood Prince of Thieves playsets and stuff.
Yeah.
So they basically just rehashed Star Wars stuff for our generation.
And so, like, it was nowhere. And no one in elementary school knew what Star Wars was. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, I had my full screen VHS tapes. I inherited a bunch of action figures from my sister. I would go to the comic book stores and beg my mom to buy me old toys, which she was always just like, why do you want me to spend $10 on this Emperor Palpatine figure?
I was solitary in my Star Wars love as well, because I was, let's see, I was in fifth grade, so, oh my gosh, I don't even know. 95?
Are you asking me?
I guess, yeah, I guess it must have been 94, 95 that I first saw Star Wars and was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
And I never really got any toys. But my dad did marry a woman who worked for Kenner making Star Wars toys in the 80s.
Whoa.
And G.I. Joe.
And G.I. Joe. She has all the old faces. She sculpted all the faces of G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
She has her arts and crafts room. We walk in and she's got like a little pegboard that's just lined with little heads on it.
Of all the different.
Like a little Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah. Kind of creepy, but also like, holy shit, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool.
I love
it. You wouldn't think.
Big dinosaur from the Jurassic Park stuff that she did too.
Yeah, you wouldn't think.
So she lived in Cincinnati and worked for Kenner.
Oh, right. Yeah. That's super rad.
Yeah.
I remember like I had Applause, the like PVC statue company in like the early 90s would make like little like 9-inch plastic statues, and I had those. I got them from Suncoast Video. So,
I forgot about Suncoast.
Yeah. So, like, when Lisa says, like, when Joe's like, how did you know that? He's responding to the fact that in 1996, Boba Fett is not a character that everyone knows. Whereas in 2020, everyone fucking knows what Boba Fett is. Everyone knows he's a Mandalorian, even. Or that he's just wearing Mandalorian armor. Boba Fett might not actually be a practicing Mandalorian or from Mandalore. We don't actually know that.
Find this out this year.
We might find out because they've cast Boba Fett for Mandalorian season 2.
I watched the trailer again this morning. I haven't
watched it yet. I'm so afraid it's going to give things away.
It's so good.
It really only seems like there's footage from just 2 episodes of the
It doesn't show Ahsoka or the Dark Blade.
No, they don't show it. And I am very certain that they are not even going to confirm that any of them are in the season until their episodes air. Because like haven't even confirmed that Rosario Dawson or Katie Sackhoff, they've not officially said anything. It's all just the whole like agents and
I'm gonna get such a television boner if I see Katie Sackhoff
As Bo-Katan. It's very exciting. But this is 1996 and it's 24 years ago and none of this at all matters. Except when the Power of the Force figures came out and I was like, holy shit, they're making actual Star Wars figures again. I bought all of them, even though the sculpts are insane and they all have huge muscles for some reason. Like Luke's chest is like fucking Pamela Anderson double D's. And so when I saw that Joe Gorelli has this Boba Fett action figure on TV, they said the words Empire Strikes Back and Intergalactic Bounty Hunter and like Honda Jabba. Like they said all this on TV. And that was so rare in 1996 that it just melted my brain.
Yeah.
And that's why this episode is always stuck in my head as a Star Wars episode.
Yeah. Well, it took till this point for us to get there. And John, I was like, are you sure we're watching the right episode? And then when the Boba Fett came out, I was like, there's the Star Wars.
There it is.
Yeah, there we go. And that's like the act break. So when it comes back up, they're now in the hotel, like going to the poker game. Lisa gets out her Boba Fett figure. And then Dave's immediate reaction is this like excited, like, oh, hey, Boba Fett. he's so excited. And then they're like, what? And he's like, oh, an intergalactic bounty hunter who brought Han Solo from Bespin. He said Bespin on TV. And that
he did say Bespin. Yeah.
And he like faded out at that point where he was like, from the Cloud City, it's called Bespin. Yeah.
It's this weird thing because like, so Star Wars was literally my thing growing up from 90 to 90, the re-releases came out in 97. So from 90 to 97, Star Wars was like my secret thing that I thought only I knew about. And so when you see this, and you see in the writer of this episode said Bespin. And so like that told 12-year-old me, there are people they know.
There are people like me out there. Yeah,
they know about this and they work on News Radio. And then tell myself that in 24 years, Star Wars discourse is going to ruin your life.
Yeah.
And I wish I could just go back to just loving my thing I love and not actually having to listen to what literally anyone else says about it.
Yep. Oh, that's what I was like. It's everyone's now. There's Star Wars oranges.
Yeah.
Star Wars bananas.
Oh, man. I love Mandalorian. This is where I love this episode is like, so yeah, like you said earlier, so they're doing their actual poker mission and then Beth, Joe and Catherine are just like, cool, yeah, we got a hotel room above. We're just there. Joe's like, Catherine's like, how did you find a camera small enough, built it, how did you make the parts, like I built those two,
built the parts too, made the fabricated them.
And then while this is going on, Beth is jumping up and down behind
the bed.
Do y'all do that when you get a hotel room, immediately start jumping up and down on the bed?
If this isn't really nice one, yes.
Yeah, only if it's really nice.
Hell yeah, I love that feeling.
Oh, yeah, this isn't mine.
I love that. Every time I've gone to like set visits and like junkets and stuff, like when I went to the Boys season 2 junket last fall and like the hotel they put us up in Toronto was so nice.
Oh wow. And you got to go to that? I didn't know you got to go to that. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it was last October. And since I didn't know what else to do, I ate all my meals that weren't part of the junket at the mall that was a 5-minute walk away.
That's
I ate that food court like 5 times because I didn't know where else to go.
I love that you're staying in this really nice hotel.
It was a nice mall. Like,
for a Panda Express.
Yeah, when I lived in New York City, I loved going to food courts out when we were at places other than New York City, because in New York City, food courts aren't really a thing.
It's a food block.
Yeah.
And I'm a like a garbage monster when it comes to food. So I'm just like, oh, yes. But also, I felt cultured because Canada has different fast food restaurants than America. So,
okay,
you know, I felt better about that. Like, I had some, like, Canadian Mexican food, et cetera, et cetera.
So far away from Mexico.
I do like it is. I do love this moment where Joe's like, he's got the camera going, he's got his glasses on, and he's like, oh, okay, cool. So, like, Lisa just dealt these two cards, and then Catherine's like, okay, great. So, how are we supposed to use this information?
Yes.
And they pause for the longest beat. Oh my gosh.
And then the next scene, like, we cut to they're downstairs, and then Beth is like thrown together a makeshift maid's outfit. She's like carting in some food. She's like, so who ordered the jack cheese and the king crab two pairs? I love that moment. And then I love that Lisa immediately is like, this is not a maid. This is my coworker. She is trying to cheat and she has told everyone my hand.
Yeah, even though it's so joke heavy, they're like, by the way, audience, wink, we know this isn't a cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and then Dave underscores is like, okay, cool. So, Lucy, Ricky's waiting for you back at the Tropicana. Like, he makes an I Love Lucy joke. I love that. Also, at this moment, Bill is like, we cut back and Bill is still giving away his stuff. He's still.
Yep.
I like
and
the
it's a big line of people yeah. now, right?
And also, like, all the lights are out. Like, it insinuates that it is. I don't know, 8 p.m., 9 p.m., like, people have been waiting for hours to, like, be like, what office supplies did Bill McNeil steal from me at some point? I love that.
And I like that he has Andy Dick behind him whispering everyone's names.
Yeah.
Like a king.
Yeah, like he's his court clerk or something like that.
I mean, it's very accurate of their relationship. It's very much like Tony Hale on Veep with always, like, behind yeah. President Selena. So back at the hotel, Joe is now just watching Hogan's Heroes on his goggles, which is a really perfect classic TV show for him to be watching because that's also a, like, espionage, hijinks-heavy show.
Yeah.
Either of y'all ever watch Hogan's Heroes?
It's been so, so, so long. I kept asking myself when I was watching, like, if you can watch Hogan's Heroes on the little antenna in his VR headset or whatever he built, they have, like, probably a nice TV in that nice hotel room too, don't
yeah.
they?
Also, it's like, hey, Joe, I think you just maybe invented, like, iPhone-esque technology or something.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you should market that? While he's watching Hogan's Heroes, and all of a sudden some, like, a hot dude knocks on the door and he's like, you guys order a massage? And Beth and Catherine are like, right over here.
Yeah, me, we did, yay.
Those two old guys come out.
And then Catherine's like, right over there, baby. Right over there is all her. This is great. And again, we don't need any of these scenes. None of these scenes add anything. They're just funny. So then we go back to the actual game where we don't actually see a lot of the poker game.
No.
I'm fine with that.
Just like the final hand and... Yeah. The results of the hand previous to the final hand.
Yeah. I'm fine with that.
I don't think I needed to see people fold or
anything. It's atypical. It's not typical because usually in these poker game episodes, there's a big pile of high stakes chips in the center or in someone else's pot or hand or whatever. But here it's just a bunch of slips of hotel stationery with stuff written on it. And they're like, okay, what's in the pot now? The soundboard, a news truck, a 50 megahertz megawatt tower, and da 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 da.
Bill McNeil. Don't forget the coffee.
Yeah, coffee.
Don't forget the coffee. Yeah.
And then Lisa races all of them by adding in one station manager, Dave.
Dave, yeah.
Dun, dun. And so, like, Dave, of course, freaks out. He pulls Lisa aside, and then Lisa tells him, like, Okay, I have four jacks. So just, like, fucking, like, keep it cool, asshole. She doesn't curse.
It's like, if you trust me, it's all, we're literally coming back full circle to the beginning of the episode with their little trust and beef and the sex that they had.
The sex mischief.
The sexy sex.
Oh, yeah. And so she goes back. And then the guy, like, I don't know. What is he? Does he flop down his cards? I can't, like, he looks at Lisa.
No, he looks at Lisa and she was like, be cool, don't say anything. And the coffee guy is just smiling excessively at the other guy. And
Dave
that's
is
when he
just
folds.
Smiling, the biggest shit-eating grin.
Yeah.
And he just throws his cards up. He's like, I followed him out.
And so they went everyone back. Yay!
Yay!
And then there's this, then my, I don't know, maybe my favorite joke of the entire episode is like, they walk over to the window and they're like, oh, great, we got everything back. And then Lisa throws the Boba Fett figure out the window. She says something like it had nothing to do with luck.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't luck at all. She just throws out the window. And then we just smash cut really quick.
Quick cut.
To, are they getting massages? So like Beth and Catherine are getting massages, I think.
I didn't even notice. I just know Joe is in the bed.
Joe is in the bed. And then he is just screaming top of his lungs with his like arms and legs flailing. And then behind him, I think, is Catherine and Beth getting massages. And
I
it's
think
only,
you're right.
It's like 1 second. It is so quick.
It's but such a quick cut, yeah.
It was so funny, though.
It is so good. I just love that little moment. And so she puts her cards down, and she's like, what do you do if you need to see if I actually had 4 jacks? Like, look, I'm not, you know, whatever, man. So puts them down. She leaves. And Dave starts to leave. And he turns around and he grabs them, and it's a pair of sixes. Yeah, paranoid. But he gets a consolation almost, because one of the other ladies that has been there, that Dave has been talking to over in like the ladies' corner.
The ladies' corner, the ladies' table.
Yeah, of all the like the people that are there with the men. She's like, hey, do you want to go get like something? Do you want to hang out or whatever? He's like, oh.
She's like, do you want to do something with me?
Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, that'd be fine. He's like, okay, cool. I'm going to need to run your credit card number first. Bum, bum, bum.
He's like,
okay.
90s hooker joke. And that is that's the end of the main episode. Then we get the stinger at the end. The credits are rolling. And Bill is on the phone and he gets told like, oh, great. I'm not going to Atlanta. I have not been sold. This is awesome. Thank you. Like, et cetera. And then on his way out, he's just filling his pockets with office supplies.
That's amazing.
Dun, dun, dun. And I'll mention this now instead of in the notes later. Did you notice that there's a credit for the Boba Fett figure?
No.
No.
It says like Boba Fett figure provided by J.T. Hutt.
Jabba the Hutt.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
It's great. I love that. Yep. I love it so much. Are y'all ready for some must-have facts about this episode of television?
Oh, yes, please. I am ready for these facts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So 9.2 million people watched this episode of television.
Wow.
That is not a lot at all for 1996.
Yeah, I was about to say that's like New York City.
Yeah. So this episode, it was 9.2 million. It was number 32 for the week of all the shows. It was 32nd.
There were 31 of all the shows that came out that week.
Yeah.
This is based off of the
Nielsen ratings. Yeah. So that is, that news radio was never a big hit. It was tied with Mad About You, though, which is what opened. So that might be what kept it. It's like, it didn't lose any viewers from Mad About You. They both came in at 9.2 million viewers. So people were watching that fine hour of comedy. Were either of you Mad About You super fans in the 90s?
Nah.
Love that.
I've seen a couple of episodes.
That adult comedy of two New York adults having a marriage really appeals to children and teens.
Yeah, really. That's their demo.
Yeah. The top five shows of that week were Home Improvement at five, Caroline in the City at four.
Okay.
And then number three was Friends, two was ER, and number one was Seinfeld.
Of course.
I mean, this is the golden era of like 90s must-see TV-ness. The fact that Caroline the City is in the top five shows that. Although
I can't believe Home Improvement was still like one of the main shows.
I can't even remember that show.
Wait, Caroline Home Improvement. Oh, okay. That's Leah Thompson.
Oh, that's right.
She was a cartoonist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her neighbor was in Cats, which for a very long time was literally all I knew about Cats, was that Annie was in Cats. I did not learn the plot of Cats until when that first trailer for the movie came out, like last October or whatever.
Yeah.
And my coworkers lost their mind and they told me that it's about, you know, cats competing to see who gets to like be sacrificed to go to heaven or whatever.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I thought they were from space and they came to Earth.
It's like a spaceship. They get ride like a Jellicle spaceship to heaven
Jellicle,
or something.
Jellicle, yeah.
Aren't on Earth.
And it's also, they are on Earth, I think. None of us have seen Cats?
No.
No, I'm still waiting for the butthole edit of the movie.
Yeah, please. Oh. So I think we should just watch, we should just launch the Cats Minute. Where we never watch Cats. We never look anything up. The three of us just talk about Cats.
Oh, can you imagine doing that podcast for like a year and a half?
Ugh. I know there's a Booster for Jones.
Ugh.
Booster for Jones.
I think so. I don't know.
No way. No way.
So this was the weird time when news radio came on Sunday nights for some reason. So the NBC Sunday night lineup at this time was Dateline, followed by Mad About You and News Radio, and then a movie. And the movie for this week, maybe appropriately enough, Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
Huh.
Oh.
Yeah. I like that.
Remember when they used to do movies on TV?
Yeah, are they doing that?
They're coming back.
Yeah, aren't they doing that now? Because, like, there is what is TV right now?
Yeah.
The Emmys are still happening for some fucking reason.
That's right.
So angry.
How are they doing them?
I guess
They've shipped out, like, 130 different, like, rigs. Like a camera, teleprompter, et cetera, and like internet hookup to 130 of the nominees. And all they have to do is plug it up, but then it'll all feed to the main like switchboard and they're going to be flipping between 130 different live feeds. So,
dear Lord.
Which is crazy because they could have just released a press release.
Yeah.
Because
I don't think people are like desperate to see the Emmys in today's
day. People ain't desperate to see the Emmys in a normal year. Every single year has less and less ratings.
Even the celebrities that go don't want to be there.
No, I'm like, the reason they would want to go is like, oh, okay, cool. So like, I get to go to a party essentially. Like I'm assuming I would only want to go to the Emmys for like, oh, I get to see celebrities and hang out with my friends and get drunk afterwards.
Right.
Because it ends at like 6 over there. And so they get like a whole night. Like, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
I can't imagine like taking away everything else and be like, okay, all you celebrities stuck at home. Now you have to watch the Emmys with none of the perks.
Like, ew.
Ew.
Yeah. Ew. Live like us for a second.
Yeah.
I hate it. On IMDb, 115 users rated this episode an 8.2 out of 10.
Not bad.
Do you think that should go higher, lower? What do y'all think?
I think they're right on the money.
Yeah. Hmm.
I would give it a 9.
Oh,
go higher.
High expectations. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's just got so good. So many good jokes. So dense. So rewarding.
I feel like I need to binge the whole series now.
It's on Crackle. First three seasons are on Crackle, which literally is the chicken soup for the Soul streaming service. They bought it. They bought it from Sony. And you don't notice it until like some of the sponsored ads they have are Chicken Soup for the Soul books, and I'm just like, oh my god.
So weird. Making them.
Yeah, like they're still making those? Great. Who had the must-see performance in this episode? Who was the MSP of the cast?
The standout performance is gonna have to be Bill.
I like Bill too.
I will give it to Beth.
Beth had a lot of fun stuff.
I honestly might have given it to Beth in every episode I've done so far. I could also easily give it to like Dave and Lisa. And also, you know what? Joe Rogan's one physical comedy moment of getting thrown out a window is really funny.
That was
really funny.
That caught me off guard.
I would say the writers won this one.
Yeah, yes. the must-see writing. And lastly, must other people see this episode of television?
I think so.
Yes, this is a must-see episode.
I think it's, I've not seen any other newsreel. Newsroom?
Newsreel.
Nose radio?
Nose reels.
I've never seen any more news radio episodes, but this was a really awesome 23 minutes to learn who everyone was.
Thanks for indulging me, sweetheart. I kind of was like, hey, can we please do the news radio one? Because I love Phil Hartman.
I got the email, we both got the email, and I read it earlier, and I was like, oh, I'll get back to him. And it was that 70s show, Friends,
Simpsons
radio, and Simpsons.
Yeah.
And John was like, do you want to do a news radio or Simpsons? And I go, oh, you don't want to do Friends or that 70s show? And he was like, well, I don't know how we get to watch that. And I was like, you can get anything online free. And he goes, no, I don't want to do that 70s show or Friends. I was like, you pick. I'll do whatever you want.
He's like, if it streams on Netflix and leaves Netflix, it's dead to me forever. Because
yes,
both of those shows left Netflix.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I usually ask, is this a good first episode of it? And I do think this is a great first episode for people who've never watched news radio. Just, I think it's one of the shows where you could probably pick any episode from the first four seasons and you're going to be good.
There are a lot of episodes where you feel like this is a perfect introduction to this show.
And it does have continuing plot lines. They do arcs and stuff. Like there's an arc where Matthew gets fired and they all have to try to get him back. There's the Lisa has Dave's job arc. There's a Jimmy James is running for president arc. But like even with...
Oh, I forgot about that.
Super Monkey Karate Death Car or whatever.
Right.
Even with all of that, they still do such a great job of just like making it very accessible. It's a delight.
It is a delight.
Yay. What a world.
What a world we used to live in.
Where can people find y'all on the internet to talk about news radio and Star Wars?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TheCrystalBeth, and I'm a part of a Star Wars D&D campaign done by the Rebels Rebels podcast. And they're a really awesome group of guys, so you can find that at Rebels Rebels on the iTunes.
Yeah, and you can find me online on Twitter and Instagram at JR_PlaysGames, and my Twitch at twitch.tv/JohnRobertWilson. And I've just basically been trying to get through this pandemic by playing video games.
What are you twitching? How's the twitchies?
It's going good. I haven't twitched for about a week or so, but I usually twitch space games, or I'll do like I still subscribe to old magazines because I'm an old man, and so I'll read magazines and stuff and talk about the games in the magazines, but like over like gameplay videos and stuff like that. So we have a good time.
I'm trying
to get into PC gaming, Brett. I'm the guy. Give me a call.
I want to try to figure out how to do Twitch just for doing Must Have Seen TV live things. Like I would like to do live events.
Great.
I can help with that.
And I don't. It seems very complicated.
It can be.
Yeah, but it can also not.
Yeah. Because I've been watching what you want to do.
In early pandemic, all the drag queens were hopping on Twitch and doing shows from their living rooms, and that was super fun. I got a Twitch account just to watch that.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Good.
And now we are all broken down.
Yeah.
And dead inside. But whatever. That does it for this episode of Must Have Seen TV. Thanks again to my guests, Crystal Beth and John Robert Wilson, for dropping by and talking about news radio with me next time. 100th episode. Thank y'all. Next time is the 100th episode. You are not ready. I'll be discussing the Addams Family episode, Portrait of Gomez. Portrait of Gomez is in season 2, episode 13. You can stream it on Prime Video. Special, special, special things await you. And you have waited 100 episodes for it. You don't even know it's coming because I haven't told you. Unless you are Facebook friends with me, then you know, because it isn't that big of a secret. But please... tell all your friends and get pumped for the 100th episode. Until then, I want to hear from all of y'all. Follow Must Have Seen TV on Twitter and Instagram. Let's talk about sitcoms. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Brett White. If you like what you've heard, rate and review the show in Apple Podcasts because it helps out. Follow me on Twitter, and I already told you to do that. Read the words that I write at Decider.com. And thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Thanks to everyone to listening to 99 plus a couple of bonus episodes where I ramble on episodes all these years. And I will see y'all next time on the 100th Must Have Seen TV.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.